Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the Oya Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Yamim Bet, Perek Chavav. Chapter 26 describes the reign of Uzziyahu, son of Amatziyahu, king of Malchut Yehuda. The chapter begins, Vayichu kol am Yehuda et Uzziyahu, v'hu ben sheshes reshana, v'yamlichu oto tachar aviv Amatziyahu. Then all the people of Yehuda took Uzziyahu, who was 16 years old, and proclaimed him king to succeed his father Amatziyahu. What does it mean that the people of Yehuda took Uzziyahu and proclaimed him king? Rashi explains it based on the events of the last perek. When people conspired against Amatziyahu in Jerusalem, he ran away to Lachish and remained there for 15 years. This effectively removed him from exercising his kingship. So the people took Uzziyahu to be the king, and he ruled for 15 years during his father's lifetime. Then in verse 2 we read, It was he who rebuilt Elot and restored it to Yehuda after King Amatziah rested with his ancestors. Elot was an Edomite city that presumably David took from the Edomites when they were subservient to Israel during his reign. Edom regained its independence during Yehoram's reign, as we learned in chapter 21, and chances are they took the city back. When Amatziahu successfully defeated Edom, he would have taken the city back to Yehuda. But with all the battles, Eilat was probably damaged, and Amatziyahu would not have had time to rebuild it, considering all that happened to him after his Edomite campaign. Now his son Uzziyahu is able to repair the city and finish what his father started. Verse 4 informs us, Vayas hayashar b'nei Hashem, g'chol asher asa Amatziyahu aviv. He did what was pleasing to God, just as his father Amatziyahu had done. How do we understand the qualifying phrase, just as his father Amatziah had done? Amatziah started out really well, doing what was right in the eyes of Hashem, but by the end he was worshipping Edomite idols. Both Rashi and Mitzvah Tzavit limit the comparison with Amatziah to his good acts and right. And he did what was right in the eyes of Hashem, like all the proper things that his father did, but not like the wicked ones. We learn in verse 5, Vayihi lidrosh elokim bimei zechariyahu, hamevin birot ha'elokim, ubiyamei darsho et Hashem, hislichu ha'elokim. It was his practice to inquire of God during the time of Zechariah, the skilled interpreter of divine visions. As long as he inquired of Hashem, God made him prosper. Malbim explains what it means that Zechariah understood divine visions. Prophets and those endowed with divine inspiration would behold visions of God, just like Yechezkel saw the chariot and other visions seen by the prophets. Among them, there were differing levels. Some did not fully comprehend the vision in its true meaning. It requires exceptional discernment to understand one matter from the other. Zechariah understood the visions, and in a generation in which such a person existed, that was the proper time to seek God from him. And in the days when they sought God, they prospered. Verses 6 to 15 detail the ways in which Hashem allowed Uzziyahu to prosper. You will notice that they are all external things, such as military exploits, building projects, and agricultural activities. There is no mention of attempting to improve the spiritual level of the people. You might remember how Asa and Yehoshaphat had military and building successes, but also facilitated the people's religious growth. Asa, in chapter 15, renewed the covenant between the people and Hashem, and Yehoshaphat instituted great judicial reforms in chapter 19. Uzziyahu went forth and fought the Philistines, and his campaign was so successful that he was able to breach the walls of the city, and not only that, but was able to undertake actual building projects in the Philistine lands. As Malbim writes, Ka'adam ha'oseh b'shalo, as though master in his own house. Vaya'azrehu ha'elokim, Hashem helped him to victory against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gurbal and also the Meunites. Malbim explains that the Philistines joined forces with the Arabs and the Meunites and defeated Yehuda during the reign of Yehoram. Under normal circumstances, victory over them would have been nearly impossible, but Hashem aided Yehuda in a manner beyond the natural order. As a result, verse 8 states, Vayitnu ha'amonim minchal Uzziyahu, vayelech shmo ad levo Mitzrayim, ki hechzik ad lamala. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziyahu, signifying their submission and loyalty, and his fame spread to the approaches of Egypt, for he grew exceedingly strong. The Ammonites' submission to Uzziyahu without war is indicative of the strength of the kingdom of Yehuda at that time. Even the Egyptians acknowledged the political strength of the kingdom of Yehuda under Uzziyahu. Although there remained nomadic tribes roaming the regions between Egypt and the land of Israel, as well as the Edomites living in that area, they were not a significant threat to Uzziyahu's power. Uzziahu built towers for the walls in Jerusalem, and he fortified them. Vayiven migdalim b'midbar v'yachtzov borot rabim ki mikne rav hayalo u'bashfela b'mishor ikarim v'chormim b'harim u'bekarmel ki ohev adama haya. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed out many cisterns, for he had much cattle, and farmers in the foothills and on the plain, and vintners in the mountain and on the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Let's explore the description of Uzziahu, ki ohev adama haya, that he loved the soil. He was able to make great strides in the agriculture of the country, but the rabbis criticized him in multiple midrashim. Shloshan niskiku l'adama v'nasu chulin, eluhen, Kayin, Noach, v'Uzziah. Kayin dechtiv v'kayin haya oved adama, maktiv navanad yeh ba'aretz. Noach dechtiv v'yachel Noach ish adama v'yitakerim v'nitpazeh. Uzziah ketiv ki ohev adama haya, shehaya melech, v'yifkir atzmo l'adama v'lo nizkak l'torah. Three men toiled upon the earth and degraded themselves thereby. They were Cain, Noach, and Uzziah. It is written of Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. And that is followed by the verse, you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer of the earth. Noach, as it is written, and Noach the husbandsman began and planted a vineyard. And soon thereafter he disgraced himself. Uzziah, he loved husbandry. He was a king who devoted himself to husbandry while ignoring the Torah. We will see the results of this misplaced priority in verse 16. But first, verses 11 to 15 describe Uzziah's great military successes. Uzziah had a force of warriors fit for military service, mobilized in troops in accordance with the number of their tally. Under their command was an armed force, which numbered 307,500, wagers of war with the force of an army, as their mission was to help the king against the enemy. Uzziah prepared for the entire army shields, spears, helmets, mail, bows, and slingstones. Uzziah was an effective administrator. In contrast to Amasiah's somewhat haphazard approach, Uzziah steadily and thoroughly improved the country in all areas, agriculture, infrastructure, security, and the provision of equipment and weapons to the army. He even made inventions in Jerusalem, clever devices to be on the towers and on the corners with which to shoot arrows and great stones. Uzziah's renown spread far, for he was greatly helped by all of his innovations until he became strong. This led Uzziah to become arrogant and make a destructive choice and do something wicked. Let's read through Psukim 16:20 as a unit and then analyze and discuss them. U'kecheskato gavaldi bo ad lahashchit, v'yim alba Hashem alka, v'yavo el hechal Hashem, laktir al mizbach haktoret. When he was strong, he grew so arrogant, he acted corruptly. He trespassed against his God by entering the temple of God to offer incense on the incense altar. The priest Azariah with 80 other brave priests of God followed him in. They confronted the king Uzziah and said to him, it's not for you, Uzziah, to offer incense to God, but for priests from Aaron's family who have been consecrated to offer incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've trespassed. There will be no glory in it for you from the eternal God. Uzziah, holding the censer and ready to burn incense, got angry. But as he got angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in front of the priests in the house of God beside the incense altar. Vayifen alav Azariah kohen arosh v'kohanim v'hinei. When the chief priest Azariah and all the other priests looked at him, his forehead was leprous, so they rushed him out of there. He made haste to go out also, for God had struck him with a plague. The verses make it clear that the cause of Uzziah's fall is sinful pride and arrogance. The rabbis learn from here that one of the causes of leprosy is unjustified pride. How do we understand what happened to someone who in the beginning of the chapter did what was good in the eyes of Hashem? We know part of the answer already from our analysis of Uzziah being a man of the earth. The Midrash recorded above continues and explains, Be'uzziah katuv, ki ohev adama haya, shehaya melech v'yifkir atzmo l'adama v'lo nizkak l'torah, yom echa nizkak l'beit ha'va'ad, amar lehem ba'me'atem oskim, amru lo ba'zar hakarev yumat, Amar lem uziyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu melech, v'ani melech, na'el melech l'shamesh p'nei melech u'latir l'fanav, miyad, v'yavo yachal shalom l'aktir o'mizbach ha'ktorit. V'yavo acharav azaryahu k'ne v'imo akonim l'shem sh'mani v'nei chayel, v'chulam mefarchei kuna, v'yomru lo l'cha uziyahu l'aktir l'shem, ki l'akonim v'nei aron ha'mugudashim l'aktir, tse min ha'mikdash, ki ma'alta. V'azeh yatzalav ketzef m'lifnei Hashem, miyad v'yizaf uziyahu b'yado. Mikateret laktir ubezafo mekonim batzarat mitzarcharmiz b'chol. Ba'ota shah nifka echal helach v'helach shneimasar al shneimasar mil. V'ayivihiluhu misham v'hu nitchaf latzei k'nigo Hashem. Mi garam lozo shebatal mina Torah v'yifkir atzmo la'adama. Uziyahu was a king who devoted himself to husbandry while ignoring the Torah. One day he visited the house of study and he inquired of those present, "What are you engaged in doing?" They responded with the verse, "The non-Levite that draws near shall be put to death." Thereupon he replied, "The Holy One, blessed be He, is a king and I'm a king. And it's fitting indeed for a terrestrial king to serve a celestial king by burning incense before him." Immediately he went into the temple of Hashem to offer incense on the altar, and Azaryahu, the priest, came after him along with 80 other courageous priests, all from the most distinguished families of the priesthood. They said to him, "It is not for you, Uziyahu, to offer incense to Hashem. It is for the consecrated priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have transgressed." At that, anger from Hashem broke out against him. Immediately, Uziyahu became enraged. In his hand was the censer, and his wrath against the priest, leprosy, appeared on his forehead. At that moment, the king's palace was shaken, and he wandered about 12 miles. They hurried him away from there, and he was also pushed out, for Hashem had touched him. Why did all this happen to him? Because he neglected the Torah and devoted himself to husbandry. Let's understand the Midrash better. What did Uziyahu mean when he said, "I am also a king"? He seemed to feel that the category of being a czar, a stranger to the temple, didn't apply to him, because a king can sometimes, on a case-by-case basis, annul a Torah law and act in a way that he thinks is appropriate in a particular situation. However, the Rambam, Maimonides, clearly states that it only allows exceptional authority in wartime or communal survival, like sacrificing Torah law to save a city in defensive war. And the Rambam emphasized, a king has no authority to transgress the Torah for personal benefit. His authority is for the public good under Torah law. Uziyahu thought of himself as a model king and desired a way to express this feeling and identity, which would allow him to get as close to Hashem as possible. That's why he chose the Torah, incense. It is impossible to fathom the profound religious emotion stirred by what the Midrash calls chaviva mikol hakorbanot. Incense is more beloved than all the offerings. It evokes a devotion so profound it transcends words. It inspires a religious identity beyond imagination. But we do know about people like Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's sons, who had lived their lives correctly and yet brought unauthorized incense in the height of religious ecstasy, generated by Hashem's presence descending into the tabernacle. It seems that they had a momentary inability to control the terrible longing to be close to Hashem, and it drove them to go beyond the limits that the Torah placed upon them. The High McDover describes the 250 men in Korach's rebellion the same way. They agreed to a test to prove Aaron's legitimacy, and they all brought incense, and they all died when a fire came down from Hashem and consumed them. The Netziv wrote that it was because their souls craved to be close to Hashem that they sinned. They knew full well that the incense of only one of them would be accepted. They knew that all the others would die, and still they did it. It was worthwhile to them to sacrifice their lives for that transcendent moment when they would connect to Hashem through the Torah. This must be what Uziyahu was feeling. In a moment of ecstasy, he knew that he was the ideal king of Hashem on earth and deserved to bring the incense. Unfortunately, Uziyahu was wrong, and he was punished. As we read in verse 19, "V'hinehu mitzarab mitzcho," the leprosy broke out on his forehead. Why there? Malbim thinks that the leprosy appeared on his forehead because it was there his mistake began. He had an ambitious mind and wasn't satisfied with the abundance of blessings he had already received from Hashem. Maybe the leprosy appeared on Uziyahu's forehead because that's where the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, the plate, which proclaims him to be consecrated to Hashem's service. That is the honor that Uziyahu wanted, but that Tzaraat made it very clear that he would not receive it under any circumstances. To his credit, at least, Uziyahu quickly left the temple because he realized that the leprosy came to him as a punishment from Hashem. and he was a leper until the day he died. He lived in the isolation house, a quarantine area outside the city where lepers were confined. He was still called King Uzziah because he had not formally been removed from power, but in practice, he no longer ruled the country. The chapter ends by telling us that Uzziah lay with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that was for the kings, but not in the actual burial plot of the house of David. As they said, he's a leper. Yotam, his son, was appointed in charge of the king's house, governing the people of the land. The story of Uzziah is of a well-intentioned king who did demonstrate an eagerness to lead his life and the people by consulting a prophet, but he was not interested in the constant demands of Torah study. He sought quick guidance from a man of God and easy shortcuts to connecting with Hashem. He was drawn to instant spiritual solutions. Within the realm of Avodat Hashem, serving Hashem, if a person approaches Torah study or a mitzvah with expectation of instant success or inspiration and without the drive to work hard for those things, she may begin with enthusiasm, but before long, when she fails to see those expectations and the rapid progress, frustration and disappointment will set in. Thus, every Jew has two paths before her, one whose goal seems within easy reach, but then recedes into the distance. The other, which is long and taxing, but with a goal that is sure and satisfying. There are no shortcuts in Hashem's world. It is the hard work on purifying one's nature and perfecting one's character that earns one a reward of a glorious future. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.